In this week's edition of Wisconsin Weekend, we're going ice fishing with the family. You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. Our guests are two people who work for Wisconsin's Department of Natural Resources. They also happen to be married, and they've got years of experience bundling up the family, teaching kids how to ice fish, and keeping everyone entertained in the process. You're part of this conversation. Do you go fishing with the family? Or maybe you see ice fishing as a solo sport. What makes it enjoyable? And do you have any tips for us? You can join us this hour at 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email at ideas@WPR.org. Pamela Toshner is a lake and watershed protection specialist. She's also a lake biologist for five counties in northwest Wisconsin. Pamela, thanks for being here.
Thank you for the invitation. I'm looking forward to talking about ice fishing with you.
Yeah, we've got a lot to cover. And Scott Toshner is a fisheries biologist in northwest Wisconsin. He supervises seven counties up north. Scott, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
You know, Scott, I hear you've already been out fishing this season. What was the experience like? How are the ice conditions?
I've only been out once, and that was just prior to the gun deer season up here. We had some time when we didn't have snow, and we had 3-4 inches of ice. Since then, we've had a lot of snow. And up here, at least, the ice conditions are highly variable. There's a lot of weight with the snowpack on top. And in some places, you know, you might be 2 inches, and other places 5 to 6 inches. So, you know, I haven't been out since then because it's been so slushy. So this is one of those years that we get sometimes where the ice conditions aren't super conducive for ice fishing.
And when you say up here, you're talking specifically Bayfield County?
Yeah, we live in Bayfield County.
Yeah. And so what is that slush and the heavy snow? What kind of an effect does it have on the ice then? And does it just keep you off the ice, or does it change how quickly the ice can form?
It changes how quickly the ice can form. When there's a thick snow layer, it insulates it. So even if it does get cold, like we did have some pretty cold temperatures in a couple weeks ago, it can change how fast the ice forms. And then also it kind of weighs it down so that it pushes it down. Can you think about an ice cube in your glass? And you can push that under the surface of the liquid in your glass. And it kind of happens like that with ice when there's a lot of weight. So one of the biggest effects are that some spots are pretty slushy. So if you're walking through, you know, you don't have higher boots on, your boots can get wet. Also, it kind of restricts the kind of vehicles you might be able to use up here a lot. People are using four-wheelers and snowmobiles, and then later in the season, trucks to get out on the ice. And right now, from what I'm hearing, you know, the snowmobile clubs are just starting to mark their trails that go across lakes. So anyway, that's the biggest impact, is that how you might access and then how much slush kind of makes it harder going when you're walking on the ice.
Pamela, sounds like ice conditions have been kind of spotty. You typically fish, though, on the Eau Claire chain of lakes in northern Wisconsin. Describe that for us. What does it look like? What are those surroundings?
Well, the Eau Claire chain of lakes are beautiful, clear water lakes, hence the name Eau Claire. They're in a heavily forested watershed, and they're high landscape position lakes. What that means is they're higher elevation. So they have smaller areas of land draining to them, less runoff pollution coming in. And because those areas around the lakes are forested, there's a lot of clear water and sand bottom. And the fishery is also really diverse. You can catch all sorts of different fish species, and you can catch some trophy fish, too.
Yeah, tell us more about that. What kind of fish do you try to catch, and have you gotten that trophy fish?
Well, when we fish, we're happy to catch anything. And when we ice fish, we typically catch northern pike. The biggest one our family has caught was about 43 inches. And I am proud to say I caught that one.
Hey,
yeah,
you've got the title.
I do. Our daughters often catch, you know, 20-plus inch fish. Occasionally, we might catch panfish, but we usually fish with tip-ups, and then our favorite kind of secret hotspot, northern, are the fish to catch.
All right. Sounds good. We are talking with Pamela Toschner, an avid ice angler and a DNR water resources manager, and Scott Toschner, also with us, a fisheries biologist with the DNR. And we're discussing ice fishing here on the morning show. You can join this conversation. Have you gone ice fishing yet this season? Did you catch any fish, or did you think the lake was frozen enough and you were ready and it turned out the conditions were less than ideal? Give us a call and share your story. 800-642-1234. And Pamela, what first got you involved in ice fishing?
I first started fishing when I was a toddler. I don't necessarily remember that time, but my dad was an avid fisherman in general, both open water and ice fishing. And I grew up on Nagawicca Lake in Waukesha County, where he would get together with the neighbors and do some ice fishing, usually with tip-ups, and he was always happy to bring me along. It was pretty similar to the type of fishing that we do with our kids today. And it was funny because when I met Scott, I was really proud to be an avid ice fisher person. The first time Scott met me, I showed him my tip-ups, which actually I think my dad had made or possibly my grandpa had made. They were rickety.
And can you describe them for us? Tell us what a tip-up is.
Well, there's different forms of tip-ups. Basically, you drill a hole in the ice with an ice auger, scoop the ice out. That's a fun thing for kids to do, is to scoop the ice out. And a tip-up is, it could be wood, it could be a round plastic circle. In the case of me growing up, it was two kind of crossed pieces of wood that the line hangs from, and you set a flag on a mechanism on the fishing line, and when a fish bites, it pulls a fishing line, and the flag is released from that mechanism. So it's a way to fish and walk away from the hole, although you still have to observe the line, but you don't have to be holding a rod the whole time and doing something like jigging, which is another ice fishing method.
Thanks for letting me jump in. I want to let you finish your story about when you were showing Scott that at first.
Oh, it was just a funny thing that I had these old school handmade tip ups, and he was more of a sophisticated ice angler who had the newest and best gear. So we kind of get a kick out of reminiscing about my folk art tip ups.
Scott, is that how you remember things?
That's true. I had heard of those kind of tip ups before, but I actually had never seen one up close. So that was pretty cool. My story is very similar to Pamela starting out ice fishing. Is, you know, went with the family, my dad and my uncle. And my first tip up, I remember officially getting at my 10th birthday party, and my grandpa had wood burned my name into it. And proudly, I still own and fish with that tip up. So that's how long it can last. That tip up's 38 years old.
Oh, wow. How neat. And you started your kids young, when they were just 3 years old, bringing them out onto the lake. Scott, why was that important to you?
You know, I really wanted to get them into an outdoor winter activity. It's something that I enjoyed as a kid. And it's something about tip-up fishing, especially for me, is it's so exciting in that, you know, you're sitting there waiting and all of a sudden the flag pops up. And that means that there's a fish potentially there that you can catch, and you run out there and you pull the line up and you see what you catch. And it's always so exciting. So I wanted to share that with them. And again, like I said, it's a way to get outside in the winters in Wisconsin. You know, the winters can be long, and I just think it's important to be able to have different outdoor activities you can do to get you out of the house.
Scott Toschner stays with us this hour as we're talking ice fishing with families. He's a fisheries biologist with the DNR, supervisors counties in northwest Wisconsin. His wife, Pamela Toschner, also with us. She's a DNR lake and watershed protection specialist. There's room for you in this conversation. Do you own an ice shanty? Have you managed to put it on the lake yet? Maybe you work for a bait and tackle shop. Have things been busy with ice anglers? Or is the season getting off to a bit of a slow start? Share your experiences with us in the past or this year ice fishing at 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Voltina, and Wisconsin Weekend continues here on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We're gearing up for ice fishing on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. It's the morning show. I'm Keely Boltina. Our state's Department of Natural Resources has some safety tips as we head onto the hard water. Dress in layers, know where you're going, look for clear ice because it can be stronger than the stuff with snow on it, and among other safety measures, don't go alone. Ice fish with friends and family. Our guests know a thing or two about that. The DNR's Scott and Pamela Toschner have been ice fishing with their own family for nearly 7 years. And you can join this conversation about ice fishing. What tips do you have for other people considering going out on the water? Maybe you have a big fish story that you want to tell us about that you caught while ice fishing. The line is open for you at 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email. Do that with ideas@wpr.org. We've been talking with Pamela Toschner, who's a lake and watershed protection specialist with the DNR. Her husband, Scott, is a fisheries biologist in northwestern Wisconsin. They're an ice fishing family. And here with us now is 9-year-old Cecilia Toschner. Hi, Cecilia.
Hi.
Hey, I've been talking with your parents this morning, and they say that you really like ice fishing. Is that true?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite winter sports.
Why do you like to go ice fishing?
My favorite thing is when the flag goes up on the tip-up, and I get to run out there and the suspense of pulling up the string on there.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds really, really exciting. Do you sit there and wait and just watch and watch and watch, or do you try to do other stuff while keeping your eye on it?
Well, me and my sister go out on the ice, and we sometimes bring, like, brooms down there, and then we, like, wipe it off, and then we like to, like, kind of skate around on the ice, which is really fun for me and my sister. Otherwise, we just sit in the truck and sometimes we play games in there.
Oh, nice. So the flag goes and you know that you've got a fish. What do you do next?
We open the door and we run out there. And then you lift up the tip up and you start pulling the string up.
Is it hard to do?
I mean, it can be hard if you have a big fish on, but otherwise it's not too hard.
Okay.
And I have to direct it.
What do you mean you have to direct it?
Like, you don't want to pull the fish up too hard, because then if you don't get it by the ice hole, you can pull it up, and then the fish will unhook from the rope, and then you don't have a fish anymore.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible. So you've lost fish like that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And now you know what to do so that you can avoid that by making sure that you don't pull it up too quickly.
Yes.
Okay, sounds good. And have you ever caught, like, do you catch big fish when you're ice fishing, or are they little fish? What do you see?
Usually we see, like, medium-sized fish. We do see little fish sometimes, but usually they're pretty medium-sized.
Yeah, okay. And do your parents drag you out to ice fishing, or are you the one that says, hey, let's go, let's get going, let's get moving?
Well, usually it's my dad that says, do you want to go out, like, have the idea of going ice fishing, but then we say yes, go along, and sometimes he makes us go along, but other times we just want to go.
Yeah, that'll happen sometimes. What do you want to tell other kids who might be interested in ice fishing? Why should they try it out?
It's a fun sport, and it does kind of, it teaches you patience, because you can't just go out there and have a flag pop up right away. You have to wait. And it teaches you patience, which is good to learn.
But then when you actually catch one, sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, it's really fun to catch one.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much, Cecilia. Cecilia, this was great to talk with you this morning. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Cecilia Toschner is 9. We're talking about ice fishing as a family this morning. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Cecilia's parents are Pamela and Scott Toschner. They specialize in environmental protection with the DNR. Scott, just heard from one of your daughters. Sometimes you have the idea to go ice fishing and they come along. She's clearly passionate about ice fishing. What's your response when you hear her talk about it like that?
It's so cute to hear that as a parent. It warms my heart to hear that, you know, they like to do it so much. I think that's something that it's a great thing to be able to offer your kids. And just like Pamela and I's story goes, you know, we were started as young kids because our parents were involved in it. You know, and I think to me, that's the biggest hurdle maybe is just getting involved initially. But it really is heartwarming to hear Cece talk about it that way. And, you know, it's the same things that I echoed when I was a kid.
Yeah. And specifically, can you address the fact that, I mean, you have twin daughters, and I think some people do assume that things that are outdoors, or specifically ice fishing, is like a solo sport that men do.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it seems like with ice fishing, there's like the hardcores, I'd call them, you know, people who are, you know, moving around from spot to spot, maybe drilling 50 holes or 60 holes in a ice fishing trip. And that means electronics and are kind of going after fish with jigging. They have more of the high tech setup with mobile fishing sheds or shacks, I guess you'd call them. You know, so that there's kind of that segment of the ice fishing population, which seems to be, you know, sort of male dominated solo efforts, or maybe they go together a little bit. But and there's the other side of it, which is a little bit more laid back, which we kind of exemplify, I think, which is just families getting out, you know, and spending time out there, you know, eating good food. You know, it's for us, for our kids, it's a time when they can get their favorite snacks, you know, and maybe a soda or two, and spend some time out there with that. So there's that added incentive there. But it's also, you know, a time for them to get out and do sledding if a hill is nearby, or like Cece was saying, you know, ice skating, those kind of things, to get together as a family. So it's different in that, you know, I think the more the hardcore anglers are out there to really pursue the fish, and, you know, I think that's great. Where for us, it's more, you know, fishing and actually catching is more secondary.
Pamela, how do you keep the girls involved in the process of ice fishing when they were younger and first learning, so that they're not, you know, kind of sitting there while the adults take care of everything?
Sure, that's a great question. I think the most important thing in that regard is to be sure you are not out there too long and maybe pushing it too far as the weather may go, or things like bathroom breaks. So our kids we've been fortunate that they're intrigued by the outdoors and by nature, and they like the process of ice fishing. We take our dog along, so that's a distraction. But we let them do things. They're hands-on with it. So I think I mentioned earlier, we let them skim the ice out of the holes. They can set the tip up. Originally, we would set the hook for them, and then they pull the line in, but now they pretty much can do everything. And it's also important they help us with the sort of shutting down piece of pulling the tip-ups back in, taking the bait off the hook. They love to go get the bait. When they were younger, they would play with the minnows in the bucket and on the ice. So there's a lot of things you can do to keep them entertained and engaged directly with the ice fishing process itself. But we would suggest probably when they're toddlers, even maybe 5, 6 years old, you know, not being out there longer than a couple of hours, because the last thing you want to do is sort of overburden them with ice fishing, which can occasionally be boredom. I'm pleased to hear Cece mention it, the patience aspect, because that's one of the benefits of ice fishing, is it teaches you patience, but you don't want it to be, you know, excruciatingly boring for kids either.
Right, right. And I can definitely see thinking about my kids going, all right, we are all bundled up. We have all of the gear. We are doing this. And it kind of being hard to pull back and say, you know what, it's just not working anymore today. We'll try again another time. So there's some understanding and patience that adults need too.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and Scott, I hear you have a tradition with your daughters that you get bait and snacks before going ice fishing. How important is that?
Oh, it's huge. It's like the exciting buildup to actually ice fishing. We go to the local bait store, you know, select the minnows. They fill up with the bait store attendant, fill up the bucket, and watch them scoop the minnows in. Look at all the different minnows that are at the bait shop. You know, there's more than one kind. And then they get to select some snacks for the day, you know, which I kind of alluded to earlier. But, you know, generally it's their time to get whatever they want, sort of thing. And, you know, it makes them so they have something to snack on during the experience. But it also, you know, is an opportunity to have your favorite thing.
Right. It sounds like both in the ice fishing and then all of the things that surround the sport, you are also giving these kids some agency over what the decisions that they're making.
Yeah, that's a big part of it for me as well. I think it's great to be able to, at first, you know, we were always picking the spots mm-hmm. where we go, and some of the spots that we go to are the same spots over and over, but, you know, I think they, as they get older and they start even thinking about, well, why do we fish here? You know, and what about a hole over here sort of thing? You know, and that's the kind of thought process that I think is like next level angler education, is starting to figure out, you know, where to fish and when to fish kind of thing. But I think giving them an agency, you know, to make some choices on their own when they're out there is the start of that process.
We have Scott Toschner here, avid ice angler and DNR fisheries biologist. Pamela Toschner also here. She's a lake biologist with the DNR who focuses on some counties in northwest Wisconsin. And we're talking about ice fishing specifically as a family, but all ice fishing stories are welcome here on Wisconsin Weekend. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. Are you an avid ice fisher? What makes it enjoyable for you? Which parts of it do you love? Is it the weight? Is it the catch? Maybe it's taking the fish home for dinner, or maybe it's releasing it back into the lake. Tell us about your experience ice fishing. Email ideas@wpr.org. More Wisconsin Weekend is just ahead for us. I'm Keely Voltina, and this is the Ideas Network. Wisconsin opens up ice fishing to everyone for free one weekend in January. It's coming up in just 2 weeks. Usual regulations apply, but all of the state's waters are open for free fishing on the 18th and 19th. We want to be prepared when it's time for us to get out onto the ice, and that's why Wisconsin Weekend is all about ice fishing with the family. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Voltina in for Kate Archer-Kent, and we'd love for you to join the conversation. What do you want to talk about when it comes to ice fishing? Have you gotten out on a lake yet this year, or have conditions just been a little too hit or miss? What's your favorite strategy to take while on the ice? 800-642-1234. You can give us a call. Send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Our guests are Pamela and Scott Toschner. Pamela's a lake and watershed protection specialist with the DNR. And Scott, also an avid ice angler, works for the DNR in northwest Wisconsin. Right now, though, let's talk with 9-year-old Karina Toschner to hear what she has to say about ice fishing. Hey, Karina.
Hello. Great to be here.
Hey, thank you. I understand that your parents taught you to ice fish when you were just 3 years old. What has become your favorite part of ice fishing over these last 6 years?
Well, my favorite parts are the feeling of running out and pulling up the fish, and also the feeling of catching a fish.
Why do you like to actually catch the fish? What's cool about that?
I think it's really fun to catch fish because I feel proud to have caught something, and I like to eat them.
Ah, you like to eat them too. Okay. And do you catch lots of different kinds of fish, or do you usually wind up getting the same kind of fish on the line every time?
I usually wind up catching the same kind of fish.
Which kind of fish do you catch?
Northern pike.
That's what comes up on your line a lot?
Uh-huh.
All right.
That's the mate.
That's the, and I think that's the one that your mom said she often catches, too.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom has caught the biggest fish in the family. Do you think you'll be able to surpass her?
No, that was really big.
Were you there when she caught it?
Well, no, but I've seen, well, I was, but I was young, so I don't remember it, but I've seen pictures.
Oh, okay. Bigger than anything you've caught then.
Yeah.
So we talked to your sister about some of the activities she likes to do on the lake. What do you like to do while waiting for that flag to move? What are your favorite parts?
Well, what I do when I'm waiting for the flag to go up is, I sled on the hill that leads up to where we are ice fishing. I also like to just play card games sometimes, or play a little board game, or I do what my sister said, ice skate.
Yeah. And, you know, when you fish in the summertime, it's warm and it's sunny. But in the winter, you have to get all bundled up. Why do you think other kids should put on their snow pants and try it out?
I think they should do that because it's so much fun, and it's really something that you shouldn't miss out on because, first of all, they're really tasty if you've ever had fish, like I said before, and also, it's just like a great experience. I think everybody should at least try it, see if they like it, and if they like it, keep doing it.
Do you talk to other kids about it? Like if you go ice fishing one weekend and you head back to school, do you ever tell them about things?
Yeah, I like to be like, I like to sometimes do this. Like when I catch a big fish, I'll be like, when you ice fishing last week, I caught a big fish. Have you ever caught a big fish?
I think that's a healthy spirit of competition I hear there. And then if they say no, yeah. I suppose you tell them, well, you could. You could go out and ice fish.
Yeah, I do that.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Karina. It was really fun to talk with you. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We just heard from 9-year-old Karina Toshner. Her parents, Scott and Pamela Toshner, work for the DNR. And we're taking your calls during this Wisconsin weekend, 800-642-1234. Do you own an ice shanty? Have you put it on the lake? Maybe you haven't gone ice fishing yet this season, but you're just itching to get out there. Let's talk about it at 800-642-1234. Pamela, I love hearing Karina say, like, I tell people about my accomplishments, and it's fun, and that's where, you know, that's what I can bring to school on Monday morning. Do you think this outdoor activity has boosted your kids' confidence?
Yes, I absolutely think so. They like to fish. They go out hunting with us. They've been to the Boundary Waters more times than they are years old. And I think all those outdoor experiences together develop their life skills and absolutely build their confidence. And for me personally, I'm really proud of them that not only they do that, but they're excited to share their stories and their experience with other kids.
Yeah, it's not something that it's like, well, my family does this, but whatever, that's how we work. This is amazing, and this is the experience that I had with my mom and dad.
Right, yep.
When they're talking about the experience or the things that they do when they're not, you know, sitting there just watching the line, I didn't hear electronics come up at all. Is that intentional? I mean, I'm hearing board games and card games and sledding and skating, but I didn't hear, I pick up the tablet.
That is very intentional. Like most families nowadays, we certainly have our struggles with devices, and our daughters will probably be the first to tell you that we get frustrated with sort of the constant interest in devices. So sometimes we do have to force them to get outside, especially in the winter, whether it's ice fishing or cross-country skiing or taking the dog on a walk. But we also observe when we do those things, they quickly sort of forget about the devices back home and find ways to make their own fun. And often their behavior improves as well. So no devices, ice fishing. You're hearing things correctly.
Scott, being employed with the DNR along with your wife might give you an advantage in teaching your daughters about aquatic life and the fish that they're talking about. How do you use ice fishing as an opportunity to talk about habitats and ecosystems?
Yeah, I guess we definitely have that advantage as being professionals in resource field, is kind of knowing the hows and whys and what's. And there is definitely those teaching moments. We talk a lot about why are we fishing here versus there. You know, for example, northern pike, you know, you've heard we fish for them a lot. Well, we fish in bays usually with aquatic plants, not weeds. We call them aquatic plants because they serve a very useful purpose in these aquatic ecosystems. And these northern pike are congregated around these aquatic plants. And the reason for that is that what they want to eat is living in amongst those aquatic plants, kind of trying to hide from them. And the northern pike are using the cover from those aquatic plants to sneak up and ambush their prey. And so we talk about, you know, why are we fishing here? Well, there's plants and it's shallow water, and this is where northern pike like to be, versus maybe like a sandy area of the bottom on a lake where there isn't those habitats and you'd expect to catch no northern pike. So it's a great teaching opportunity to let them know that these ecosystems are kind of all interrelated, but at the same time, there's places within these ecosystems that these fish use as home and for a dinner table sort of thing.
Scott Toschner works for the DNR. So does Pamela Toschner, who happens to be married to Scott. We're talking to them about ice fishing this hour. There's still room for you in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can give us a call and tell us about your experience ice fishing, or maybe you've never tried it and now you're inspired. You can certainly ask a question of our guests here. Scott, I also understand you fillet fish right on the lake after they're caught. That's another teaching tool you can use for your kids.
Yeah, that's something that they really seem to enjoy, and I like doing it out there because it keeps the mess out of the house. And so I bring a fillet knife and a cutting board, and between tip-ups, it's a great thing to do to be able to fillet the fish. And one of their favorite things to see is what's in the fish's stomach. Oftentimes, there's other small fish. Sometimes even aquatic insects are inside those pike stomachs. Which is cool to see. And then you can also tell if they're a male or female when you're filleting them. So they're always really interested in kind of the inner workings of those fish. So it's a neat opportunity to be able to show them that.
And Pamela, as a lake and watershed protection specialist with the DNR, you focus on water pollution. How do you teach your daughters about your area of expertise?
Well, I talk a lot about habitat. In certain parts of the state where there's a lot of agriculture and urban land use, runoff is a big problem and sort of nutrients coming into lakes, and not that that isn't a problem in the northern part of the state, but it isn't as apparent. We don't have as many blue-green algae blooms, for example, up north. But we do have a lot of tinkering sort of, especially along shorelines where people are removing aquatic plants, terrestrial plants. We have new development and redevelopment of existing cabins being turned into real large structures. And we don't talk about, you know, getting people off the lakes or prohibiting development, but the ways you might observe that development is happening and how people are managing their shorelines and alternatives that might be more lake friendly. So leaving vegetation, or if there's obvious erosion going downhill into a lake, maybe doing something like a rain garden there to prevent it. And it's interesting because the kids are starting to pick up on that. So when we go on boat rides, they'll actually see where a rain garden could go in, or maybe a shoreline restoration with native plantings.
So instead of pointing it out to them, sometimes they're pointing it out to you.
Oh, yes. In fact, it amazes me how quickly they learn, and sometimes they'll notice things before I notice it.
How neat. We're talking about ice fishing with a family on this Wisconsin Weekend program. Pamela and Scott Toschner take their kids out onto the frozen lake. They're also experts with Wisconsin's DNR. And we're having a discussion about getting kids outside in the winter and onto the frozen water. This is Wisconsin Weekend, and you can email us your stories at ideas@WPR.org. Our conversation continues just ahead. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us here on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Ice fishing with kids can be a test of patience, and our guests say you've got to be prepared. You might want a system to make sure everyone gets a turn. You have to be ready for a few tears when you inevitably lose a fish, and you might have to go home early. Try again next weekend. Pamela Toschner is a lake biologist with the DNR. Her husband, Scott Toschner, is a DNR fisheries biologist, and they're avid ice anglers we're talking with this hour. And we want to welcome Doug from Burton to the program. Hey, Doug.
Hey, good morning. Great to be on the show.
Hey, what's your experience with ice fishing?
Well, recently just got into it. I'm a cub master for a Cub Scout pack, and we do 3 ice fishing clinics throughout the winter for our scouts. Yeah, and I just wanted to say what Pamela and Scott are doing is fantastic. The stewardship with their children and the outdoors, and we're trying to do that as well with our 50 scouts that we have. And it's a lot of fun, a lot of tears, a lot of scouts being impatient. It devolves sometimes into snowball fights and snow fort building, but we always have a really good time, and the scouts really come away with a lot of great ideas and great experiences.
So whether it's fish or the snow forts, it sounds like it's pretty successful, Doug.
It's an absolute blast.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing what you know. And Doug, getting those kids out on the ice and to experience the outdoors. And, you know, when you do that, Scott, safety is an important aspect of ice fishing. What should we think about when we're taking our families or our groups out onto the lake?
Yeah, that's a good point. And then safety is paramount here. You know, commonly I'm out the day before or a couple days before, checking ice conditions, making sure it's safe to go out, even before we get into the whole run-up to get out there with the kids to ice fish. I usually use a ice fishing spud. It's kind of just like a bar with a pointy chisel tip on it to check ice depth and kind of go along and see what the ice depth is. The other thing is a safety precaution is make sure that you have plenty of warm clothes. And if you think that you might get wet at all, an example would be if the conditions are slushy, you know, thinking about bringing up a pair of backup socks or maybe pack up a pair of dry boots to bring along. I really avoid conditions that are that could be dangerous as far as like breaking through the ice, because that would just really ruin a trip. So, you know, I don't even bother to go out when it's those kind of conditions. But, you know, having ice picks along a long rope instead of, in case something does happen and someone falls through, are good safety precautions. Some anglers who are more daring and go out on thinner ice actually wear life jackets to make sure that if they do happen to fall in, that they can get out.
Very smart. Yeah, and let's go ahead and bring Sam into the conversation. Sam, you had a quick question for us.
Yeah, I do a lot of ice fishing. I'm starting to get the boys into it as well. Scott, Pam, how you guys doing?
Great, thanks.
Yeah,
great,
all right.
Thank you.
Well, my question would be, how often do you fish a hole, you know, that might have good structure or good potential before you realize that it's not going to be producing and you drill another hole? How freely do you move from spot to spot?
Oh, good question, Sam. Thanks for the call. Pamela, when do you just give up and when do you stick it out?
That is a good question. It makes me think of a hole that we used to fish on Amnicon Lake in Douglas County, and we wouldn't even have the tip-up set, and we would catch something. And that hole was just amazingly productive as far as different species and the flay going up. But sometimes we'll drill extra holes right at the start and potentially move the tip-ups around if we're feeling that one spot may not be as productive as we'd like, but in general, we kind of tend to stick with the holes that we've got. We might, instead of moving the tip up to a new hole, we might try to set the line at a different depth and see what happens with that approach.
All right. So there's your last little tip there, Scott. Sam, thanks for giving us a call. Pamela, we really appreciate your time today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I really appreciate being here. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, and Scott, thank you, too. We appreciate your time.
It's been great. I encourage everyone to get out ice fishing. It's a great time. Thank you for having me.
All right. Scott Toschner and his wife, Pamela Toschner, both work for the DNR. Both are also avid ice anglers who take their 9-year-old twin girls ice fishing all season long. And you can actually find out more at WPR.org/mornings. There you can go see pictures of the Toschner family and their ice fishing adventures and get more details on a free fishing weekend that happens here in Wisconsin on January 18th and 19th. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Carl Christensen with a story about how watching your parents dance as a child shapes the legacy you leave behind with your own children.
Have you ever been at a wedding and caught a glimpse of your parents slow dancing? Maybe you marveled, or maybe you cringed, but I'm willing to bet you felt something. Jan Larson shares a story about how watching her parents dance in the kitchen brought her comfort as a child, and now as a mother as she watches her children forge their own affections.
The legacy parents leave their children isn't always easy to spot. On those rare occasions when we get a glimpse of something good, it is oh so sweet. As a child, I delighted in my father's nightly ritual. He would sneak up on my mother as they cleared away the dinner table or wiped down the countertops, and what was our kitchen transformed into their private ballroom dance floor. I only have eyes for you. He crooned tenderly as he wrapped his arms around her, his face nestled into that space along the back of her neck and shoulder. Gently, he twirled her around, ignoring her mock protests, and swept her into his arms in a glide across the linoleum floor. The moment was brief, enchanting, and one that left a young child certain of her parents' love. All was right with the world. Some years later, I met and married my own darling. And then, one night while tidying the kitchen, I felt his arms wrap around me, hands turning me to face him as he guided me in our own dance across the hardwood floor. Happy tears pricked at my eyes as he twirled me, pulled me close, and then finished with the big dip. As toddlers, our children squealed with pleasure at Daddy's strength and the light in Mom's eyes. As teens, they offered eye rolls, shoulder shrugs, and the predictable, get a room, to which we replied, we have a license, marriage that is, to do this. But underneath the playful teasing, our children too were certain of their parents' love. And again, all was right with the world. Not too long ago, our eldest son stopped in for a Saturday brunch. As logs crackled in the fireplace and music filled our home, I busied myself in the kitchen. The little boy who once reached up to me, now a young man, put his hands on my shoulders and turned me to face him, pulling me toward him for his own dance. As we swayed to the music, he looked down. I want to be like you, he said. Stunned, my response was brutally honest. Why? He tossed his head back in a brief laugh. I just do. All my mistakes, all my flaws flashed through my mind. This would not do. I did not want to waste the moment. But what to say? Take the good but leave the rest, I fairly pleaded. Another light laugh. Okay, Mom. I realize now I don't need to fear for my son. He knows my flaws, yet finds reason to love. Perhaps in following his father's example, taking our dance and making it his own, he already has claimed the best we have to offer. If the legacy of children being certain of love is what we leave behind, then sweet is the knowledge that all will be right with the world.
Jan Larson is a journalist and professor at UW-Eau Claire. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Carl Christensen.
And I'm Keeley Boltina. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.